Hello, this is Stuart Wilde. Welcome to the Higher Self Tape. Many years ago in old China, there was a mystery school. It began in 250 BC, and what made it so important was that it was the first of the mystery schools, and from it, all the other esoteric philosophies began to branch out and develop. It was high in the mountains, shrouded in mystery. Nobody really knew where it was, but young men and women that wanted to learn about their inner energy, about the mystical metaphysical realities, sought out the school, and if they found it, they were admitted to it. They had to go through a certain amount of disciplines, but once they went through those disciplines, they became accepted as part of the main body of the school, and they studied there for a number of years. On completing or graduating from the mystery school, they returned back to their communities with this special power, with this special inner knowledge. And basically, because they didn't announce themselves as initiates of the mystery school, they became known in the communities and in the villages of China as the unknown sages. And so whenever, like, good fortune smiled upon a village, or the crops grew well, or some kind of special event or special good thing happened to a village, they would say, it must be the work of the unknown sage or the unknown sages. And so the power and the energy of these initiates of the mystery school went beyond the good works that they did, beyond the teaching and the healing that they brought to the people, because a magicalness, a mystery began to surround them, and they became sort of legendary in their communities. And so with this power, with this magnificence that they expressed, they basically allowed the people to perceive a positivity and inspiration from within themselves. And even though perhaps one of these unknown sages had not visited for a village for 20 years, the people would still feel the magicalness, and every time something good happened to the village, they would say, it must be the work of one of these unknown sages. And so this mystery school had an immense impact upon China. It lasted through to about 300 and something AD, approximately in that century, when conditions in China forced its closure and it disappeared underground. The philosophies, the mystical metaphysical philosophies that it taught, was a philosophy that there is within all things an energy, a divine energy. That energy you can call the universal mind, the Christ consciousness, the living spirit. You can call it whatever you will, but it is a power that pervades all things. By developing your inner self, by coming into an understanding of the energy that is within you, the same way as the initiates of the mystery school went out into their communities and affected people, you too can go out into your community and you can allow that community a higher vibrational evolution, a higher vibration. And so you raise the consciousness of the people that you come into contact with, not by affecting them on the outside, by forcing change upon them, but by affecting them by your inner power. And in the olden days in China, it was believed that one of these sages would be able to change the evolution of a village by just walking through it. Even if the sage didn't speak to anybody, didn't heal anybody, did not allow any kind of communication to take place, the vibrational level of that village would rise because of the power and the speed of the inner energy of one of these initiates. Their speed or their vibrancy, the amount of this life force or living spirit or universal mind that they experience from inside of themselves, would quicken the evolution of the villages. And so in looking at the higher self, in looking at one's inner energy, one also looks at what it is one can create with it. Not only creating a higher form of perception for oneself, but allowing an energy to go beyond one for the benefit of the people that you will meet in the course of your life. At the beginning of time, your higher self was a part of this universal mind, the living spirit. It individualized, it broke away from it, and became an individualized expression of the living spirit. It began by having existences, tens of thousands of existences in dimensions beyond our comprehension. It would have had existences as electricity, as color, as sound, as in various forms of evolution and various forms of dimensional experiences. And then gradually, as it divided itself into more and more various experiences, it began to become a kind of library of information. And you can look upon the higher self as a library. It is everything that you have ever been. Inside the energy of the higher self is the energy of the living spirit. And so, because the living spirit is in all things, through your higher self, you can perceive all things. You can enter into the energy pattern of the ancient wisdoms, because through your higher self, the energy pattern of the ancient wisdoms also have this living spirit inside of them, or inside of it. And the living spirit is in each person that you'll ever meet, and so you are interconnected with everything that you see. Every living thing which expresses the higher self or the living spirit more than do non-living things. But even a stone or a rock has the living spirit within it. And so you can have an interconnectedness with the entire universe by coming in touch with your higher self. The higher self had all these experiences, and then as it began to gather momentum, as it began to gather these energy experiences around itself, it came upon the capacity to begin to have a physical experience. Now, when you think of a physical body, the physical body experiences sight and sound and touch and taste and smell. It experiences a myriad of various informational inputs that come into it. And so the higher self had to have an experience of how all that worked before it would be able to enter into a physical body and experience humanhood or being a human. When it's ready to make this dramatic step, it does so because inside the evolution of the physical plane, within the totality of the physical experience, it allows the higher self a growth opportunity. It allows it to go beyond where it is today. Beyond. And so it chose this thing. It chose this entry into the physical plane. It chose it. As two people in the physical earth plane have a sexual experience, that gives off an energy. It is unique, the same way as each two people in the world are unique. Their energy is unique, and the sexual experience that they have is unique. That energy is read within the dimension of the higher self. Within the spirit world, that energy is read. And as the higher self is prepared to come into the earth plane, it begins to look for an incarnation that will suit it, that will allow it to develop in the area that it wants to develop. And so it watches for this energy coming up, and it allows itself a perception of what it will be getting into for the first 13 years, for the first 13 years of life. It can see the mother and father, it can see the genetic pattern of the body, it can see the financial circumstances, the geography, the national karma, the international karma of the times. It can see historically whether it'll be an incarnation of restriction, whether it'll be an incarnation of travel or movement, or whether it'll be just an incarnation, say, perhaps in a small tribe in a valley where there will be not much opportunity for expression. It understands what it's getting into, and it chooses it. It chooses it. Now, if you don't believe that you chose your body, chose your circumstances, stop for a moment and think of yourself in somebody else's body. Pick somebody particularly grungy or particularly unpleasant, somebody that perhaps you don't even like. Pick that and see how trying to be inside their body just doesn't work. It somehow doesn't fit, and it feels totally disjointed. This is because you chose what you are. And even though you might have limitations, or you might have physical imbalances in your body, or you might have any number of various difficult circumstances that you've had to transcend in your life, you still chose that for your evolution. Once the higher self saw your mother and father in this sex act, they saw the conception, it had an energy. Once that child is conceived, the higher self then begins to align to that energy pattern. It aligns and it watches carefully. Sometimes the higher self will accept the fetus just right upon incarnation and enter in. And pregnant women will tell you that they know when the life force begins in the child. It moves or it kicks or like there's a sudden change takes place and they know. And usually the higher self will accept the body prior to birth, sometime between incarnation and the birth. Sometimes, where the higher self is not totally sure, let's say, for example, the situation between the mother and father is changing, or the physiological aspects of the body have changed during the pregnancy or something like that, then the higher self might not accept the body, even after it's been born. It'll kind of be there in around the mother, in and around the new baby body, but it will not totally accept. It has about 6 to 8 weeks after birth to make that acceptance and to complete this incarnation, this entering into the physical. If it does not accept the incarnation in the 8 weeks period after the birth of the actual baby, then it has to withdraw. It has to return back within itself, and the baby dies, and you have these mysterious crib deaths, which are basically, to the most part anyway, the higher self withdrawing and not accepting the circumstances of that baby, that body, and that life. However, if it does accept the incarnation, it enters in as a child. It knows what the mother and father believes. It can tell the geographic circumstances. It knows what kind of body it's going to be into. And it accepts all of that. When a child is small, it has a natural exuberance, a natural beauty. And this is because the higher self is very, very strong. Then little by little, the family, in all love and in all tenderness, begin to give the baby their belief patterns, their negative emotions, their beliefs, their limitations, and that is all put into the child's subconscious mind. And the subconscious mind, like a computer, programs all these beliefs and all these patterns. And the higher self knew this was going to happen. And what you learned between your birth and your 13th year was basically the accoutrements or the karmic challenge that you face in the earth plane this time. Then after you were 13, you began to express yourself. You began to try to work with all these emotions and these feelings that have become part of your belief patterns. And the search for the Holy Grail is basically a search for that inner light, that higher self once more. Going beyond the negativity of the mind, going on beyond the limitations of emotions and so on, and transcending all of these challenges that you accepted and returning back within the higher self or finding that energy inside of you one more time. That is the grail, the Holy Grail. And so your life, as you experience it now, your higher self chose it because it would be a good evolution. It would help it go beyond the earth plane. The first 5 lives of the earth experience are usually very restrictive. The higher self will enter into bodies that are, for example, physically restrictive. For example, mongoloids and mentally deficients are higher selves that are entering into the earth plane for the first time. They're usually loved and cared for by their communities, and not much is expected of that type of incarnation. And so it is a good place for the higher self to begin. Then the next, second, third, or fourth incarnation will be incarnations of restrictions, a time where historically there was not much movement, there was not much ability to go beyond, but it allows you an experience. So perhaps your fourth incarnation might have been, let's say, as a female in the Egyptian period, where you were a slave and you just served in various capacities. Or perhaps, you know, later in the history of mankind or whenever it was, where there was not much movement, you were born into a village as a young farmer, as a young male, and you experienced physicalness, you experienced the earth, you experienced the seasons, but you never went more than, say, 30 miles or 45 kilometers from your village. And so you experienced only just a very small amount of the possibility within the earth plane. During these first 5 incarnations, the higher self, incarnating inside this body that it's chosen each time, has with it 2 karmic angels. Now, they don't have wings. They are basically metaphysical energy beyond the evolution of the earth plane. They come in service to the higher self. And they ensure that the body or the subconscious mind or the life of that person goes down the karmic direction that is intended. So say, for example, in the third incarnation, you entered as a female, and what you were coming to experience was, say, motherhood, but in a restricted sense of that. You know, you were going to have children, it was going to be a difficult situation where you were not going to be able to get out of it, but you needed this experience of motherhood, of being kind of locked into a strict understanding of femininity. The higher self would accept that child, knowing that, say, on its 13th birthday, the young girl would be given in marriage to a local landowner or something, perceiving that possibility before birth, and knowing that that would result in motherhood in a restrictive sense of the female and female energy. And the reason it would accept this restriction is because at a later date, it would be able to go beyond that restriction and have a more expanded understanding of femininity. And so it would go into an incarnation of restriction. The karmic angels are there to make sure that happens, to make sure that that lifetime doesn't sort of spin off in a tangent, that the child doesn't run away and, say, join a circus. You know, they aren't there to control, but they allow the energy to go in the direction that it wants to go. And so they are there. And for the first 5 or 6 lifetimes, all that the higher self has with it is these karmic angels that allow it to go in the right direction. After the 5th or 6th lifetime, it has more capacity. It can, for example, it has the ability to go beyond the restriction of self. And it begins to incarnate into bodies that have more capacity. So it might incarnate, as I say, as a merchant adventurer, whereby it would have the ability to travel around the world. Or it would incarnate into a feminine body, say the daughter of a landowner, where this young girl would have, let's say, more money, and it could be perceived through the energy pattern that she would inherit the land, and she would have the ability to develop vineyards and commercial enterprises, or you know, she would have a greater amount of expression of self as a female through the ownership of these lands and so on. So the 6th, 7th, 8th, and so on incarnation are incarnations of gradual awakening, you know, away from the restriction, away from the institutions that encapsulate us, and more incarnations of freedom, of beginning to feel one's own philosophy and one's own understanding of self. The total amount of incarnations on the earth plane are usually between 10 and 12. There are some exceptions, but let us say, for the purpose of this discussion, 10 to 12 lifetimes. At around about that period, at the end of the 5 lifetimes, the higher self is joined by the spirit guide. Now, the spirit guide is not a Red Indian chief or an Egyptian princess or some kind of physical body, even though sometimes the subconscious mind, perceiving the energy of the guide on an inner level, translates it into symbols that the mind understands. And so it feels this power from beyond itself. And it says, ah, this is a Red Indian chief that is guiding me. But that is not usually the case. What it is the guide is an energy beyond the earth plane evolution that has completed its lifetimes upon the earth plane. And it is usually a person that you have had a lifetime with, either a family member or somebody that you have been close to, that takes upon itself as an act of service to be your guide just for this one lifetime. The guide changes for every lifetime that you have beyond the first 5 or 6 lifetimes, which were the restrictive lifetimes in which you just had guardian angels. But after the 6th lifetime, you have a fresh guide for every life. And the guide acts in service to you. In service. It is there with the higher self, and it allows inspirational energy to come to you. It allows this power to keep flowing to you so that you have within your life a power of inspiration, a power of understanding. And so the guide takes that on, and however well you do with this life, however far you go with it, or however the expansiveness that you can develop from within yourself will depend on how much energy the guide has been able to send you and how much you have been able to accept. And the guide, acting in service to you for this one lifetime, his evolution, and I call the guide his, because, I mean, I have to use something, but it's not a he, but its evolution, the guide's evolution, will be in direct proportion to how much you will have evolved upon the earth plane. And so the guide has your evolution at heart. It wants you to do well, and it is pushing energy all the time to inspire you to move to a higher ground metaphysically, to come to a greater understanding of yourself. War, famine, disease, negativity are all part of the university of the physical experience. The more that you control your body, the more you control your emotions and the frustrations and the negativities of the subconscious mind, the more the energy of the higher self pervades your life. And because that energy is totally pure and totally positive, gradually the negativity of the physical plane falls away and you transcend it. You transcend the negativity. You go beyond it. Having understood it, having been a part of it, accepting the situation at the beginning, you chose your body, you came in with these various challenges that you had, and the triumph of your life upon the earth plane is stepping beyond your restrictions. You see, anyone can make a big success of their life if they have everything with them. But the beautiful stories, the heroic stories, are where a person through some kind of crippling disease has transcended the disease and become a famous singer. Or through some situation where they had some kind of disadvantaged position socially, perhaps, they've risen beyond that, beyond the negativity of their neighborhood, the society they lived in, and they became a great leader, a great inspirer of people, or a great politician, or a great writer. Those are the heroic stories, and those are the stories that inspire us. And that is basically the story of your life. You go beyond your limitations, you go beyond the negativity, and beyond the patterns that you chose. And you allow the energy of the higher self to become more and more a part of your life. The guide is there, and its evolution, of course, is linked very, very intimately to your evolution. The more energy that the guide can push through to you, and the more energy that you open up and are able to accept, the higher your evolution will be. And, of course, the higher the guide's evolution will be, because the guide is so linked with you that it does only as well as you do. And so if you want to communicate more with your inner guide, you have to begin to accept discipline into your life. You have to begin to open so that your guide will be able to push more energy through to you. Then as you accept that energy on an inner level, you then begin to grow. The power of the higher self, because it is so much more powerful and going so much faster than we are in the physical plane, you will never be able to touch it, taste it, hear it, smell it. You'll never know it's there. It'll not hit you on the head like a plank. It is a subtle energy. It is an energy that comes around the mind like a wind. It is like a wisp of inspiration. It's a feeling. It's a very, very subtle thing. But when it's there, you'll know it's there, because you'll feel vibrant, you'll feel strong, you'll feel confident about your life. And when your physicalness or your emotions or the mind is dominating, you'll feel weaker, you'll feel frightened, you'll feel negative energy, and you'll feel that you're not secure. And so you'll always know when you're in balance, when there is the power, when there is that power of the higher self around you. After completing these lifetimes, at the end of each lifetime, when you die, you separate from your body, and the character of you, it's your soul, the contents of the subconscious mind, along with the inner energy of the higher self, retreat out of the physical plane through a dimension of review, which is sometimes called the spirit world, and returns back to the higher self. When you've completed 10 to 12 lifetimes, you complete the totality of the physical experience. You will have been in many different situations, in many different countries, in many different families. Probably you will have been male and female. You will have had the totality of the experience, and then you are ready to go into other lifetimes, other evolutionary experiences. And what happens basically is this, that you then enter into an entire new pattern. One of the patterns that is out there beyond the physical world has 33 energy experiences in it, and you would therefore experience 33 lives. And at the end of that 33 energy experiences, you will have a further block of knowledge, a block of understanding within the higher self. The White Brotherhood as it's sometimes referred to, is basically a group of energies that have gone beyond the 12 lifetimes of the physical plane. They've then gone on and completed other complete series of lifetimes or energy experiences, for example, like these 33 energy experiences, in other dimensions beyond the physical world, and they are beings that are evolving on and on and on beyond the physicalness. They have, as a part of their growth and evolution, the same way as the guardian angels were with you for the first, you know, first 5 to 6 lifetimes, they act as a kind of guardian angel to the entire physical plane. They allow inspiration, they allow an energy to come through, they make sure that the physicalness, the coarseness, the emotion, the negativity, do not overpower the energy, the higher spiritual energies. And so the White Brotherhood are not there to control the world, to force it to go in one direction or another, but they are there to project energy to it, to allow inspiration to come to the world so that people can bit by bit raise their consciousness, complete their lifetimes upon the earth plane, and go beyond. And so they act as a group of energies. We call them the White Brotherhood because they are perceived in a spiritual tone, and they're perceived in a positive spiritual tone. Of course, they're not a brotherhood, they're not monks, and neither are they white. But what we mean is that they have this spiritual power. It is a positive power, and they allow an inspiration, an evolution for the whole physical plane. What that evolution is, what that inspiration is, of course, is beyond our perception, because if we could totally perceive how the White Brotherhood works, then we would not be here on the earth plane, we would be a part of the White Brotherhood. So it's understanding that there are energies in evolution that have gone beyond the earth plane. Okay, let us review. You are eternal, immortal, universal, and infinite. You are the higher self inside a body. You're not the body, you're not your emotions, you're not your mind, you're not the geographic area in which you were born in, the society, the tribe, the country. You're not any of those physical, emotional, or mental things. You are eternal. Inside that eternal energy is total perfection. You have absolutely no limits, though you have only beauty and only strength at all times. Anything else that's in your life is part of the periphery that you accepted to step beyond. And if you haven't as yet stepped beyond it, you center upon your perfectness. You center upon the energy of the higher self inside of you. And so if something goes wrong in your life, you do not concentrate on the thing that has gone wrong. You concentrate on your inner beauty, your inner essence. You say, I am eternal, immortal, universal, and infinite. And what I am has beauty and strength. And what I pull to me this day is for my highest evolution and good. And by centering on your strengths and building your strengths, your weaknesses fall away. They just one day you'll turn around and they won't be there anymore. And so by accepting only positivity, only love in your life, only a limitless view of your potential, you begin to little by little break down the negativity and the problems that you accepted as your karmic evolution within this earth plane. We suggest that you set up a meditation, 24 minutes each morning before the day begins, 1 minute for every hour of the day. If you do this on a regular basis, the guide knows it's happening and it begins to push more energy through. The higher self comes around your mind like a wind and goes out into your day and begins to transform the events that you will experience so that you move out into your day in total positivity, in total love, in total understanding. And by doing the meditation at a regular time, you allow a emphasis of power out there for you. On the B side of this tape, you'll find a meditation that you can use. Once you've learnt it, you'll be able to do it without the tape, and you'll be able to project your energy out and understand more about your evolution and where you're going in this lifetime. Thank you.